I've officially finished for everybody, right? Am I right on that? Yeah, everybody's done. So you should be all rested. You got to sleep in. Guys, you probably played a lot of Xbox. Girls, you, I don't know, you like braid each other's hair or something. I don't know what you guys like to do, but girls did girl things. But my name's Gary. I'm on staff here. Glad you guys are with us. I want to make sure I mention this. So next week, our new youth pastor will be here, which I'm really excited about. So make sure you come, not only just for Easter, but to meet him. We're going to have some time just to kind of get to know him. His name is Jared Johnson. Thanks for asking. And so he'll be here next week. But we're finishing up just a short two-week series that we're in called Awkward. And last week, I talked about this idea that we can make sharing our faith something that just doesn't have to feel awkward all the time. And I talked about different things that we can do, like, you know, losing some of the Christianese terms that we might share, and our unchurched friends are like, what are you talking about? These are just, they make people uncomfortable. Things like when you tell people that you have a relationship with Jesus, like, wow, that's true. But telling an unchurched person that, they're like, relationship with Jesus? What? I don't understand. That's just kind of awkward. So just talk about some of these ideas, like things we can do to get rid of the awkward in sharing our faith. So I talked about it at a personal level last week. So this week, I want to talk about how do we do that collectively, like as a group, as a youth group, as a church, how do we remove the awkward for our friends that don't know who Jesus is? Because maybe you don't realize this because you're sitting in the doors of a church right now, but over 90% of the teenagers that you guys know, you come and come across every single week at school, they don't do the church thing. So there's so many people that don't have this hope and this purpose and experiencing this love that we have because we're the ones that are here at church. And maybe you're new and you haven't experienced that yet, but what I would hope is that this could be a place that we can create, that we get rid of the awkward, and we can invite our friends and they can meet Jesus in a real way that can transform. And I can tell you that knowing who Jesus is in a personal way in your life, it makes a heck of a difference. And so I hope that we can talk about that really openly and just be reminded, like, we want to be a place that's not for just the people that are already here. It's a church for those that are outside of our walls. And I want you to think about the last time you felt completely awkward or uncomfortable, out of place, okay? Just like, put yourself in that moment real quick. Does anybody, can you think of it right off the bat and you want to share what that was for you? Anybody? Mikey? Last night, 70th birthday party. Yeah. Must have been bumping there. That's awkward. Yeah. As a 70-year-old?
As a 70-year-old.
Yeah, that's not good. That would make me feel real awkward. Yeah. Does anybody else have anything they can think of like right off the bat here? Alyssa? What was yours? You went ice skating yesterday and got hit on by a 14-year-old. Props to that 14-year-old. I mean, that's a pretty gutsy move for him to go for that. But yeah, like, that's just awkward. You're like, no, I'm way too old for you. Steve, you got one for me?
30 seconds.
When Michael just shared that story, everyone's like, oh, I feel awkward now. Yeah. Okay, so you're thinking about the last time you felt just completely awkward, out of place. For me, I think about, this isn't the last time it happened for me, but when I was in fifth grade, and my teacher, she gets up there in the front of the class. She's like, you guys, we're going to do a performance for the entire school. And so, you know, all of us are sitting there like, yeah, we're really excited about this because it's like, yeah, we're going to do something cool. I know some of you guys do drama and you guys are like so excited about the plays. You know what? You guys make me feel awkward actually sometimes. You have like a weird little cult drama thing. So, I mean, that's cool and all, but you just make me feel uncomfortable sometimes. But we're usually you get really excited about like doing these performances and everything like that, and so we're sitting there and real pumped. And then she tells us what we're gonna do is we're gonna line dance for the whole school. I'm like, I'm sitting there. Okay, picture it: a fifth grade boy line dancing. No, like fifth grade boys should not ever be dancing. Like junior high is the most awkward stage where you're just like, you're the wallflower when you go to a dance. You don't want to put yourself out there because you know you just look weird. You know, you haven't gone through puberty yet. You sound like a girl still if you're a guy, you know. It's just like, it's an awkward stage of life, so you don't want to be dancing in front of people. So, I just was like, I can't do this. So I went through all the practices and everything. Then the night before, I told my mom that I was just like, I don't want to do this. So can you make up an excuse for me? So she told the teachers, I don't recommend this. Don't do this. She told her that my grandma was going to die. So she told her that, but that got me out of having to do this really, really awkward thing. And so my teacher was super disappointed, but I knew that we had to come up with something that was legit, you know, like to get me out of doing this thing. But every single one of us, we try to avoid awkward situations as much as we can, right? guys, this is why you don't necessarily like ask a girl out, because you want to like feel really comfortable and like you know they're going to say yes. You're just like, ugh, except for the 14-year-old that hit on Alyssa. You know, it's like you avoid those situations as much as possible because none of us like to feel uncomfortable. We don't like to feel out of place or feel awkward. And I think what happens is we forget that for somebody that doesn't do the church thing, coming to church for the first time is the most awkward thing ever, right? It's like a blind date on steroids. Like, it is horrible for a person to come in here that has no idea what this church thing is, and they walk in with all these preconceived notions of like, okay, I need to put a suit on, I need to make sure I know all the lingo, and then we get up here, we sing all these songs, and like for a new person, that just makes them feel so uncomfortable. And we forget that. The longer you're in a church, the easier it is to forget how uncomfortable it can be for somebody to walk in the doors for the first time. And I know, as much as I wish this wasn't true, I know that there are people in this room where you've come to this church before and you have felt so out of place. You've maybe haven't felt welcomed. It hasn't been the best experience for you. And I know that's the reality. So what I want to talk about today is like, how do we keep that from happening? How do we remove the awkward from our church setting? Like, as a group, what can we do together to continue to create this place for those that don't know who Jesus is, not just for the ones that are already here? So that's what we're going to talk about. And I'm going to read a story out of the Gospel of John today. It's Jesus' first miracle. And this is really, really interesting because when you think about Jesus, God in the flesh being here, and you think about like doing miracles, you wouldn't picture that this is a kind of miracle he would do. You'd picture like, oh yeah, he's going to heal people. He's going to do all these big signs and wonders to like show everybody that he's the real deal. Like that's what you picture. And so for this one that we're going to talk about today, it's just not very like spiritual in what we would define as being spiritual. And so if you want to grab your outline, you can follow along with me. The words will be on the screen from this scripture. But I think there are some principles in this that we can pull out that can help us create an unawkward church. So let's pick it up in John 2. It says here, 3 days later, they all went to celebrate a wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was invited together with him and his disciples. While they were celebrating, the wine ran out and Jesus' mother hurried over to her son. She says, "The host stands on the brink of embarrassment. There are many guests and there is no more wine." So Jesus says, "Dear woman, is it our problem they miscalculated when buying wine and inviting guests? My time has not arrived." But she turned to the servants. "Do whatever my son tells you." In that area were 6 massive stone water pots that could each hold 20 to 30 gallons. They were typically used for Jewish purification rites. Jesus' instructions were clear. "Fill each water pot with water until it's ready to spill over the top, then fill a cup and deliver it to the head waiter." They did exactly as they were instructed. After tasting the water that had become wine, the head waiter couldn't figure out where such wine came from, even though the servants knew. And he called over the bridegroom in amazement. Head waiter says, "This wine is delectable." It's another word for just being like, this wine's amazing. "Why would you save the most exquisite fruit of the vine? A host would generally serve the good wine first, and when his inebriated or drunk guests don't notice or care, he would serve the inferior wine. You have held back the best for last." Wraps it up here and says, "Jesus performed this miracle, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee. They did not know how this happened, but when the disciples and the servants witnessed this miracle, their faith blossomed." Okay, I know we just read like a ton of scripture here. But this is a fantastic story in so many different levels. And this is just like a side note that I was thinking about as I was putting this together. But what's really interesting is that Jesus was the kind of guy that people wanted to invite to parties. Like, he's the kind of guy that people wanted to hang out with. And I think sometimes when you think about church and you think about God, you think about this, like, angry dude up in sky that's just, like, wants to call us out and tell us all the things that we do wrong all the time. And he's perfect, so we can't, like, really talk to him because we're not perfect. And so you have these certain ideas about who God is. But Jesus comes and he's like, "I'm going to show you what God is like. I'm going to be God in the flesh for you." And he's the kind of guy that people wanted to invite to their wedding. Like, I think that's just really interesting. Like, people just wanted to be around him so much because of how loving he was, because he was healing people, the miracles he did. And so that's kind of the setting, is that they're at a wedding, and it doesn't seem very spiritual for Jesus to turn water into wine, right? Like, it's like, why would he do that? And it really doesn't even fully make sense as you read the story. You have to put yourself into the culture of this day to really understand what was going on here and to, like, answer that question. Why, Jesus? Why did you turn water into wine? Like, of all things, for your first miracle, that's the one you choose? Like, you should have done something way cooler than that one, right? And so I want to just talk about some principles about how do we create a church that is constantly an inviting, safe atmosphere that you could go to one of your friends that doesn't do the church thing, and you could say, I can confidently tell you that you can come to my church, and you will get something out of it. You will maybe get to hear about who this God is that I love. You won't feel uncomfortable because the people there are really friendly and really nice. Like, how do we do that? So the first thing is, write this down. We prepare for our guests. Prepare for our guests. So like I said, scene, this is a wedding. Everybody's having a blast. Like, weddings are an awesome time. Like, my wedding was awesome. One of my best friends, David, got married a couple years ago. It was a great wedding. There's so much fun because you get to just hang out with your friends and have dance parties and all this cool stuff. So everybody, they're like, that's what you want to picture. They're having the best time, and then they run out of wine. And in their day, dude, this was a really, really, really big problem. Because in their culture, the way that they would measure currency or measure your financial worth would be in the way that you honor others. So this was such a big deal that you could actually press charges against somebody if they didn't honor you well as a guest. So that's kind of what's going on. So they run out of wine, and basically, you would be telling your guests, I wasn't prepared for you. So your guests would be like, what? You ran out of wine? This is a wedding. Didn't you know how many people were going to come to this thing? Like, you obviously don't honor me. You don't respect me. And so this was such a big deal in their time. And to make that relate to today, every single week, God prompts thousands of people to visit a church for the first time. Every single Sunday this happens. It happens here where every single week we have somebody new that walks through our doors. So every week, thousands of people are willing and like, okay, I'm going to step foot in a church. I'm finally going to try this out. Maybe they got invited. Maybe they got a flyer in the mail. Maybe it was that they're just going through such a rough time and they're just like, okay, I don't have any hope. I don't have purpose in life. I guess I'll check out this church thing. So every single week, there are those kinds of people that are like, okay, I'll visit. I'll give this church thing a shot. And the problem is, most of the time, we're not prepared for the guests. And that is a huge, huge problem, that what we can do is we can turn so inward focused and be like, okay, well, I got my crew. I'm safe. I got my Jesus message for me. I'm going to heaven. And we can just kind of stop thinking about the fact that 90% of the people you walk by every single day, if they were to die today, they would be going to hell. And you know some of those people, and you love them, but churches aren't prepared to receive these thousands of guests that God's like, my spirit is prompting people to go and visit a church, but you guys, you're not even ready for them. And see, I think that's what happens so naturally in church, and it's something that is a huge, huge problem. And we just don't treat people like they're a guest in our own home. Like yesterday, we were filming, where's Caitlin at? My Asian friend. There she is, Caitlin. We were filming a video, a testimony video that we're going to show. And I went to her house, and it was so cool because we walk in, and her house is, like, immaculately clean. And she, like, brownies for all of us that were coming over, like, three or four of us going over. And so she was totally prepared for us. She was even prepared for me, like, a glutard, you know, where I can't even have gluten. So she's like, I could make some gluten-free brownies for us so we can eat those as well. And it's like, so she was, like, so prepared. And partly that's because she's Asian, and Asians in their culture, they're just more like that than the white people in the room. So sorry about that. But it was so cool because she was totally prepared for the people that she was going to be welcoming in as her guests in that moment. And see, most people, they'll give church a shot one time, man. They'll go, okay, this God, this Jesus thing, I'll give you one chance to convince me that this is worth my time. And if they don't have a good experience, then dude, they're just like, okay, well, I gave it a shot. Obviously, this God thing's not real because the people there were not friendly. Nobody said hi to me. It didn't seem like anybody was even happy to be there. It just seemed like, just blah, I don't ever want to go back there. So they'll give it one chance, and sadly, we fail with that one chance. And I know that for some of you that maybe you've been around here for a long time, it probably rubs you the wrong way that we like try so hard to be prepared for guests. Like maybe you start to think like, man, well, all they ever talk about, like when Kyle got up a couple weeks ago and he was like doing his spiel about, hey, maybe you're new around here. I would love to buy you lunch if you would come to lunch with us today. And I know that in a room this size, there are people that are like, well, how come he doesn't buy me lunch? Like, I've been here for a long time. And so I know that happens. That's a reality. And I know I've done that before in certain instances where you start to feel entitled and like you deserve something. And I think what this story is telling us is that we always have to be prepared for the guess. So while it might rub you the wrong way that you might not feel like, oh, Gary doesn't care about me. He's got his favorites, his crew. So does Kyle. So does Jordan. So does whoever else, insert name that you place as somebody that you really want to have this like really deep friendship with. What you need to remember is that there is somebody that walks in the doors every single week here, and they've never heard about Jesus. Ever. And so we have an opportunity to be prepared for them, to speak in a way that's clear to them, and to welcome them with just a smile, a big high five, and just be like, we are so excited that you would give us your time on a Sunday morning. And I think that's something we always have to stay focused on as a church. And what I really care about for every single one of you is that, not that you just receive blessing from being a part of a great youth group, but that you would choose to become a blessing. Because that's what God wants for you. If you're somebody that claims faith in Jesus, he's not just like, I just want to keep giving you nice things, giving you blessing. He's like, no, okay, I've given you all this great stuff. Now you need to turn around and share it with others. And so I care about you guys becoming a blessing, not just being like, okay, I want to receive, and continue to be blessed. And so what I would ask of you is just to join us in being prepared for the guests that God is going to send to us every single week around here. And I've said it this way, where it can be so simple. All you need to do is know the name of the people sitting next to you. Like, that can mean so much. I've heard so many stories of students that the reason they came back was because somebody remembered their name. Like, that is not that hard, right? You just have to say, hi. Go ahead and just practice it right now. Get to know the names around you real quick. Introduce yourselves. All right. Got a chatty group today. Hey, Fish, this is not a time to get phone numbers, bro. Love it. That's awesome. All right, did you get it? You got it out there? You good? Now you know some names around you? Okay, so here's the deal. Here's the deal. Bring it back in, people. I would hope that that's something that you could do every single week. All you got to do is just say hi to the person next to you, get their name, and make it your goal just to remember that specific name. So if you see them the next week, you can just say, hey, insert name. Hey there, Bobby. Hey there, Rico, whatever their name might be, you know. Because the goal is to create the most like welcoming and relaxed atmosphere. And people can't be relaxed unless you feel safe. And the way that we make people feel safe is we just have a chance to just get to know a little bit about them. Because churches do weird crap, man. We do some weirdo stuff. And we don't realize we do some of this weird stuff. Like a couple years ago, every year when we take our breaks for the end of the summer, I try and visit other churches just to check out, see what they do and everything. And so 2 years ago, I went with our interns and we checked out a church. And dude, it was so uncomfortable, man. It was so awkward because we went in there, and first off, we took like 18 people with us. And so we tried to go in not as a big old crew because they'd be like, whoa, must be a Mormon family, you know, like there's a ton of kids. And so we tried to split up and everything, and it was really awkward because Michael, he was wearing a mask because he had whooping cough, and so we're like, nobody wanted to go in with him. We're like, I'm not with a disease guy. Like, that's, I don't even know that dude, you know? But so we tried to go in as like separate groups, but the problem was that the church only had like 40 people there, so we made up half the audience. And so we're sitting there, and we're like pretending not to know who each other are, but we're looking at each other, just feeling so uncomfortable. And what happened was... at the point where they started to do like the welcome and like introductions and stuff like that, the pastor gets up there and he's like, all right, so we've got a crew here from High Point today. Where are you guys? Why don't you guys all stand up? And we're just like, oh no. So you got like half the audience standing up. And then here it got even worse because they're like, well, usually we give mugs to every new first timer around here, but we didn't have enough for you guys. So you're going to have to share one of the mugs with your friend. And I was just like, so you want me to get like half the cup? I don't want to share with disease man over here. Like, come on. Of all things, no, this is not good. And so we walk in, and like, how uncomfortable did you feel if you were, because there's some of you that were with me. And it's like, you're just like, ah, oh, why did you call me out? I just wanted to sit here and like hide out a little bit and just like check the thing out. I didn't want to have to stand up and be like, yep, I'm the new guy. Here I am. Look at me. This is really good, especially if you're wearing a mask. You don't want to be that guy driving more attention to yourself. Sorry, Mike, it's the last joke I'll make about you today. Next Sunday, we'll probably have a few, but it's fine. But see, the goal is to make a really relaxed, just like casual, just to like make it easy for people to come here. And the thing about making it feel just like easy and relaxed is that it's not actually easy to do that. So the easier something looks, the harder it actually is. And so that totally plays out around here, where it takes so much like prep work to do all this stuff and all this planning. We've got to have tons of volunteers to make this thing happen every single week. It's like, we could never do this if we didn't plan ahead. I mean, picture this. Picture we did just like a Sunday where we didn't plan anything. And we've done it before, actually. It was really funny if you were here for it. We did one, what would you call that Sunday? Who was here for that? Probably only like half of you were here. Do you remember what we called it? We didn't call it anything. We just tricked you guys. That's right. That's right. Okay, so what we did was we basically like pumped it up and said Ryan Axtell was going to be here to do music. And then we didn't set up anything in here. We locked the doors and let people in. And they're just like, ugh, what the heck? This sucks. This is just an open gym. And Jordan had acoustic music. And it was like, ugh, this is not very good. Jordan, you're really good. It wasn't burn on you or anything. But just like, you know, you walk in with this expectation of like a certain kind of experience. But imagine if we didn't plan or prepare at all. Like the band, there's nobody here for the band, so I get up and I'm like, all right, guys, there's a microphone. We're going to call this Karaoke Sunday. Hey, you want to go ahead and sing for us? Let's do this, you know? And then that girl that sounds like a goat when she sings gets up to sing, and you're like, oh, no. And you maybe brought a friend with you that week, and you're just like, oh, my gosh, my friend is going to go home, and I don't want them to commit suicide, but they might because of what just happened, you know? You're just like, this is so bad. And then I didn't plan for, like, a message. I'm just like, all right, well, you know, the Holy Spirit didn't tell me anything, so we're just going to kind of sit in silence for about 30 minutes. Or, hey, who's new? Anybody? Don't raise your hand. Hey, new guy, here's the microphone. You're going to preach today. You know, like, could you imagine if that's what kind of experience you walked into? Or if nobody got up to do the dismissal at the end? Just like, okay, we're sitting here. It's 3 p.m. Am I allowed to leave? And nobody wants to be the first one to get up because you're like, it doesn't seem like we're allowed to, you know? It's like, just like picture that. How awkward and uncomfortable would that make people feel? Like, even if you come here every week, you would feel so uncomfortable walking in the doors. And so just like a bride and a groom want to be prepared for every single guest that comes to their wedding, we want to be prepared for whoever it is that God's going to send to us every single week. And what we do, and many of you know this, is we send surveys to people that come for the first time just to hear what their experience is like, because I come here every week, and so I don't have the same eyes as somebody that's walking in the doors for the first time. And so we send a survey out, and we get some responses. I just want to read a few of them to you because I think they really show how much this matters. So, and let me make sure I say this too. I'm not just picking the ones that like make us look really good, like we know what we're doing. Like, this is just the last three that I got over email. So the first person said, everyone is so welcoming and just a joy to be around. Second one, people were very welcoming. Like, this is the goal. This is what we want, people to walk in here and to experience that and feel so welcomed. The third one here, this one's pretty significant. The Asian pastor was easy on the eyes. I mean, I know that's true. They don't have to tell me over the survey. Just so you know, nobody actually wrote that. I made that one up. Like, to boost my ego around here. Last one is this. I felt very comfortable around everybody. See, and I love that because I didn't grow up in church. And so for somebody that is checking out this place for the first time to have that kind of experience, like, oh, man, that means the world to me that you guys create that kind of place. And so I guess today is just that reminder of, like, let's continue to create that kind of place where we can actually invite our friends and they won't feel awkward. Like, that would be amazing. Like, that is the goal. So that's the first point. The rest of my points are a lot shorter because I know I'm talking for a long time. But second one, write down this, we are available. Not only do we prepare for our guests, but we are available. I'll read verses 4 and 5 to you again. This is Jesus speaking first here. He says, dear woman, is it our problem they miscalculated when buying wine and inviting guests? My time has not arrived. But she turned to the servants and said, do whatever my son tells you. So in this instance, who's the one that notices that the wine's all gone? Mom. Jesus' mom, Mary. And then what does she do? She does the thing that moms always do, volunteers her kid to fix the problem, right? Like, you've been in that place before. And let me also say this. This is the one time where I would say, don't do what Jesus did. okay? Like, you know, the whole WWJD thing? Like, most of the time that works out. But in this instance, don't do it because, like, the next time your mom says, hey, will you unload the dishwasher? Don't go, woman, my time has not arrived. Like, don't do that because you're going to get smacked for that, okay? But eventually, Jesus listens to his mom. And then I love the attitude of the servants because Mary says, just do whatever Jesus tells you to do. So they just do it. They are like, okay, well, he wants us to go get some jars and fill them with water. And they just, like, get it done. They don't complain. They don't whine. They're just like, okay, I'll do it. They make themselves available. And I was thinking about this because with my son, he's just so funny because, like, you know, these servants here, they're listening and they're just obeying. So one thing we try and do with Jad is we've tried to train him on what this phrase means, like, listen and obey. And usually when we say that, he just does the opposite. Or he looks at us with this, like, conniving look of, like, he's like, I'm going to do something bad, but you're going to think it's funny. You know, like, that's totally my kid. That's what he does right now. And so we're trying to train him against that. It doesn't work because we always laugh at what he does. But here's the deal. What about you? How available are you to meeting the needs of the people around you? Whether it's in this church setting right now, or if it's outside of the church walls, like, how available are you? Are you too busy? Are there other things that make it to where you can't serve, you can't love on people? Think about your friends' lives. What are the needs that your friends have right now? Maybe it's just relationship, like somebody's going through depression. Like, are you available to that person? Or is it just, you're just caught up in yourself? I'm like, oh yeah, well, it's my life. It's about me. I got to take care of myself. Or maybe you're just too lazy. You're just like, oh, that would take too much work. Like, are you available to meet the needs of your friends and even here at church? Because I know that, I mean, there's about half of the people in this room help serve in some way. Set up, tear down, music, minglers, prayer team, whatever it might be. Follow up some of the stuff we do during the week. But then there's another half of you that you come here on Sunday morning, you sit in the chair, and then you just leave. And here's my question, like, is your faith, like, is that really what you want your faith to be? Like, your faith in Creator God is to show up Sunday morning, sit in a chair, listen to a talk, go home. And that's like what your faith is. That sounds really boring to me. And it's not biblical to have faith that's just like, yeah, I just kind of do my own thing, and I'm not available. And so I just want to know, here's the goal for today. My goal is that for those of you that are just sitting on the sidelines and you are experiencing the blessing of tons of people that serve for you, my goal is to get you to get out of your seat and to choose to be a blessing and make yourself available. So that's the goal for today, is to get you to get involved here and start to make something happen, because your faith will never move forward unless you choose to serve. I can promise you that. You have to serve and put yourself in positions where God can use you. And then, magically, you grow. And it's like, whoa, because you're obeying the Bible. That's what the Bible teaches, that you are here to serve. Jesus said he came here to serve, not to be served. We're supposed to be like Jesus. We do the exact same thing. And so that's my goal, is for you to just get out of the seat, make a decision to choose to place yourself in a position where you'll be available to serve. Third thing is this. No one is overqualified or underqualified to serve. Overqualified or underqualified? Maybe you want to respond and you're like, okay, I've been coming here for 4 years and I have never done anything to help out, and you're ready to do something. So let me give you just a couple examples. Like, be a mingler. That, like I said, man, that's how we create such a welcoming atmosphere, is by having these people that are intentionally here to try and just say hi and make sure that people are noticed around here. And I know that there are some people that you're like, well, I'm like overqualified for that. Like, to stand at a door and like give high fives, like, really? Like, I'm a little bit better than that, right? Well, let's think about Jesus here for a second. Wasn't he way, way, way overqualified to turn water into wine? I'd say so, based on some of the other stuff he did. And wasn't he overqualified to wash the feet of his disciples? Yes, he was completely overqualified. And so for us, we have to make a decision and just say, you know what, I'm not overqualified, God. What you've given me, man, I have to respond. I have to do something about this, because I can't sit here any longer and just receive blessing. I need to become a blessing. And what I want is, I want us to be so good at welcoming people in these doors every week that it causes people to complain. Like, that would be so cool if people complained about how nice we were. Actually, This was a couple years ago, but I actually had a high schooler come up to me one time, and he's like, "Hey, Gary, can I talk to you for a second?" So I'm like, "Oh, this is going to be a cool moment. Like maybe he's going to tell me something real that's going on in his life." And he's like, "You know what? I don't like that so many people give me high fives and, like, say hi to me when we walk in. So can you just tell them not to do that for me anymore?" So I'm like thinking there, like, basically you're telling me you're mad about people being nice. That doesn't really make sense, but I would love it if I got that complaint every week. Like, "Gary, gosh, these people here, they smile too much. They are too friendly and happy about their lives. Can you tell them to just be mad, okay? Can we do something? Like, let's show those really, really sad puppy dog adoption thing videos on Sunday so then people are really, like, bummed out the whole time. I'm tired of people being so nice and friendly and just like, man, they give me way too many high fives. These people love me. Why? Can you knock it off, okay? Please." You know, like, that would be so cool if we got that kind of complaint every single week around here. Because that would tell us that we're creating the kind of place that I think God has said, this is what I want the church to be like. That it could be safe every single week for somebody to walk in that just wants to explore the Jesus thing, this God thing, and they can come in and they can feel welcomed. And people will say hi. Like, my goal is that at least every single person in this room would get at least 3 high fives or some kind of, like, personal interaction of, like, a hello, hey. So, like, let's do that. Like, just when you're walking by, don't, like, put your head down and just keep walking. Like, look somebody in the eyes and like, acknowledge that they exist and just be like, "Hey, how are you?" And it's so simple. Just be like, "Hey, I'm glad you're here." Like, that could mean so much to the people that come in the doors every single week. And on the flip side, as far as being underqualified, there are so many of you in this room that you're like, "Well, if you knew me, dude, there's no way I can do anything significant. I can't serve. I'm so screwed up. If you knew what was happening in my current life right now, just, like, no way, no way." Well, here's what I'll tell you. Read the Bible, and you'll see that every single person God uses for a significant purpose was screwed up. Like, they messed up so badly, but God's like, "That's okay. I'm going to use you for my purposes." Fourth thing is this: obedience honors God and inspires people. I love the ending of it where it says, Jesus performed this miracle, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee. They did not know how this happened, but when the disciples and the servants witnessed this miracle, their faith blossomed. Underline that last 3 words. Their faith blossomed. See, that's what happens when we choose to obey God and just do what he says. Like, it inspires people. Like, these people that got to witness this miracle, their faith blossomed. They grew in their relationship and their faith, and like, "Wow, Jesus, that was crazy that you just did that." Because it's not like that happened all the time. Like, people just walk around like, "Hey, I have some water. Will you turn it into wine?" Like, this was a one-time deal, Jesus turning this water into wine, as far as we know. And so they were like, "No way, that's amazing. Like, I had these jugs of water, and they became wine right in front of me. This is crazy. So this Jesus guy, wow, like, he is the real deal. He is God. There's no other way to explain this." And the really, really cool thing about this, too, is that the servants here, they had no idea that their obedience would lead them to a miracle, right? Like, Jesus just says, "Hey, go fill those jars with water. Make sure it's overflowing. You know, put in the cup and give it to that person." But they had no idea that them obeying and just being a part of this and, like, serving would cause a miracle. And my question for you is, what do you need to do today that could lead to a miracle tomorrow? Because all of us have a next step, spiritually speaking. And when we choose to take those steps to obey God and to place our faith in him and act on it, God turns them into miracles. There are so many stories in here. We could just rattle them off all day, these different stories of miracles that you probably had no idea was going to happen when maybe you came in here for the first time, or maybe when you went to a camp and your life was changed, like these kinds of things. But they lead to miracles when we choose to obey. Last thing is this. Everyone enjoys the final product, but only the servants see the transformation. Only the servants see the transformation. Man, if you serve around here, like, you get this, dude. You just get it. When you get to watch a testimony video of a student that shares their experience here at High Point and shares how their life has been changed by God, you just get it. You're like, "I was a part of making that happen." It's because you're a part of the real transformation. You get to play a part in the process of somebody coming to faith, meeting Jesus, and having their life changed. Dude, that's so cool, right? And I don't think I say this enough to you guys, that like for all of you that do serve in this room, I just want to say thank you. Like, thank you for creating the kind of place that I feel safe inviting any teenager I meet, even adults, I'll invite them to come to our youth group, and they end up thinking like, well, this is weird, Gary. Why do you hang out with a bunch of teenagers and whatever? But it's all good. But like, I love inviting people here because this is a place where I just feel like people get to experience life, like life the way that God intended it to be. And so thank you for helping us create that kind of place. Now, really quickly, I just want you to raise your hand if you have been impacted in a positive way by High Point. Just raise your hand. Just look around real quick. That's a lot of people. Okay, you can put your hands down. Okay, setup team, you guys made that happen for them. They got to experience blessing because of you. Caitlin, your prayer team, when you guys meet at 10:30 every morning to pray over the service, you guys, you're the reason that this stuff happens. It could never happen without a group of people that just says, okay, well, God, you've changed my life, so I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to serve. I'm going to respond. And 3 weeks ago, somebody came to faith for the first time in Jesus here. So if you help in any way, in the band, whatever it is, you played a part in that person coming to meet Jesus. Man, that's crazy. You changed somebody's eternity forever. Just like soak that in for a second. Is there anything else that could be better than that? To have somebody be able to go to heaven because of your investment in them. Dude, that's it, man. That's what life is all about. And so let's keep creating that kind of place and choosing to make ourselves available. Go ahead and grab your guys' comm cards real quick.